I will say as I begin this morning, I desire your prayers always, but especially today. We're going to be continuing this morning our journey through the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 3 this morning, beginning with verse 9. So I pray if you have your Bible, would you turn to Romans chapter 3 this morning. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you that the book of Romans is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He wrote it during his third missionary journey, and that was between the years of AD 55 and AD 58. And then there is a theme that we see. We began to see that pretty strongly last week. We will see it again today. As you continue to read through the pages of the book of Romans, you will see it if you're looking for it. And it's this. It's in Christ, the righteous God unites Jews and Gentiles into one people of God. And I'll tell you, we need that today. Don't think for a moment that Satan does not want to divide. We still need God to unite the church today. Even when you think it's united, Satan wants to divide. Be on guard. Don't be taken surprised by the enemy. So at this point, if you are physically able to stand, I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Again, Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Whereas God, the God of Jews only, is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith? Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, for these next few minutes, what I pray that you will hide me behind your cross. I pray that your anointing will be upon me. What I pray that I will point these people to you and to the cross. Father, for anyone who is hearing my voice right now that does not have a relationship with you, Father, I pray that this will be the day that your conviction will fall upon hearts and lives. Lord, may we see salvation in this place. May we see you do the immeasurably more than our human minds can even think to ask or imagine. And may Jesus be glorified forevermore. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the title of this morning's message is going to sound familiar. I've left the title the same the last 3 weeks because we are still talking about the judgment of God. But for the majority of our text this morning, verses 9 through 20, we're going to be dealing with this question, who will God judge? Remember that Paul knows he's communicating difficult information here. We see him continue this in our text today. And we're going to see that Paul is now going to be reminding the readers that all, this includes both Jews and Gentiles, he reminds us that all have demonstrated their unrighteousness before God. Now, Paul states here, in these first few verses, that both Jews and Greeks are under sin. And then he states that none is righteous. No, not one. None is righteous. No, not one. So often in our society today, we hear people ask this question. Listen closely when I say this. And I bet you've heard this question before. Perhaps you've even asked this question. Here's the question. Why do bad things happen to what? To good people. Why do bad things happen to good people? Church, this morning I want to tell you lovingly, but I need you to hear this. The answer is plainly on the screen right now. You ready for the answer? It's because there are no good people. There are no good people. That can be hard to hear, can it? So let me just say this right now. The sooner that we realize that, the sooner that we understand that, the sooner that we accept that, the better off we will be. And maybe you're asking yourself, why? Why will we be better off? It's because it shows us our extreme need of Jesus Christ. That is the reason. In order for us to realize how much we need Jesus, we've got to realize that we are not good. Period. We are not good. Yet so many people live their lives as if they are. Paul tells us that their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. That sounds a lot like our society today, doesn't it? I wonder this morning, has your tongue ever been used to deceive? Paul goes on to say, the venom of asp is under their lips. I wonder this morning, do you know what an asp is? I'm going to tell you. It's most likely referring to the Egyptian cobra. It was a small snake, but it was a deadly snake. Let this be a lesson to every one of us. If we choose to use our tongues to deceive, it's exactly like the venom of a deadly snake is under our tongues. And all I can say is this, may God have mercy if we ever willingly do that. Whether or not you realize that you need the mercy of God, let me tell you, you do. You need it. I need it. You need it. May we realize that each and every day. Paul goes on to describe the actions of those people who use their tongues to deceive. He says in verse 14, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And I'm going to tell you, church, this morning, verse 17, I want to point you to that for just a moment. Paul says here, and the way of peace they have not known. And I want you to understand this morning, as long as people live their lives with little to no fear of God, you're not going to experience peace. You will not experience peace. You can claim and quote Philippians 4:7 all you want to, but until the fear of God is in your life, you will not experience the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Please hear me when I say that this morning. Paul goes on to say, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Now, what we have seen Paul do in the last several verses is that he has made a case to the Roman believers that the entire world, including them, needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has told them that the Gentiles deserve the wrath of God. And I can just imagine as those Roman Jews are reading that, they're probably saying, amen, they deserve the wrath of God. But he's also shown the Jews that just in case they think that they will escape God's judgment by the position of simply who they are, they're not going to escape. Paul tells them that they need the gospel. Those Jews need the gospel. I need the gospel. And so do you. Remember, Paul is communicating very difficult information here for them to hear or to read. And now we're going to see that righteousness is revealed. Now, Paul has delivered quite a bit of bad news to this point. Now, one of the reasons that I love Paul, one of the reasons that I am looking forward to meeting Paul in heaven is that Paul did not sugarcoat the gospel. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He realized that in order for these Jews to accept the good news of the gospel, that they first needed to hear and understand the bad news. And you know, that's still true today. For any of us to truly accept the good news, which is the gospel, we must first hear and understand the bad news, that we are sinners, we are not good, and that we need a Savior. Now, just to emphasize what we're going to be talking about in just a moment in our verses, back in the early days of my banking career, I had graduated from Western with an accounting degree. I was working at the bank. That was back in the years before cell phones were ever a thing. If you wanted to talk to somebody, you either went to see them or you called them on a landline. One day, I received a call at the bank, and I answered the phone. And the conversation went something like this. Mr. Young, I hear you have an accounting degree. I said, yes, I do. And then I wasn't prepared for what they said next. They said this, well, I need you to tell me how to do it. And I mean, I thought it was a joke. There was a long pause and I found out it wasn't a joke. And I said, I'm sorry, you need for me to do what? I need you to tell me how to do it. And you know, that person wanted the result, but they didn't want to put in forth any effort to get it. None whatsoever. That person had just bought a business. They knew they needed some sort of accounting system. They weren't asking me to do it for them. They wanted me to tell them in a short telephone conversation how accounting works. They wanted the easy without experiencing the difficult. And you know, I'm not sure that's not exactly how many people approach a relationship with God. We say that we want His righteousness. But church, remember, I love you when I ask these questions today. How many of us are truly interested in taking up our cross daily and following Him? We will not have the righteousness of God without our willingness to do that. We will not experience the easy without going through some difficult things. Now, that person that called me at the bank that day, they wanted the easy, but there was no easy solution to that. Now, remember that Paul is communicating difficult information here. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about is that righteousness comes through faith. Now, we know that when we hear that, but let me ask you this, is faith easy or is faith hard? Do we want easy or do we want hard? That's a personal question you're going to have to answer. Now, Paul is continuing to communicate information that's difficult to hear, remember, both to Jews and to Gentiles. And Paul tells us here that the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all who believes. And that there is no distinction. And then Paul tells us in verse 23 that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Can I tell you something this morning? I believe there's a lot of people today that have as difficult of a time hearing and accepting verse 23 as the initial readers of this letter did. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Now, last Sunday afternoon, I attended the WMU meeting and I heard Tim and Sally share about their most recent time that they've spent in Honduras. They did such a great job. And all I can really say, if you weren't there, you missed it. You missed hearing them share. But one of the things that Tim talked about were the differences in sharing the gospel there in Honduras versus here in our local community. Now, if you've ever shared the gospel very much, I will guarantee you, you've encountered what I'm getting ready to describe. Around here, around our area, when you attempt to share the gospel, you are likely to hear a response that sounds something like this. I'm good. I basically do more good than I do bad. I've been baptized. I'm good. You go and talk to somebody that really needs to hear, because I'm good. Anybody ever heard that before? Again, I guarantee you, if you've shared the gospel very much around here or in the United States in general, you've heard that. But Tim said in Honduras, it's the absolute reverse of that. Those people have such a horrible view of themselves that they think they're beyond help. And can I tell you something? Apart from Jesus Christ, we are all beyond help. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Now, verse 23 makes it clear that we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. But praise God for verse 24. We are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But what does it take in order for that to happen? Faith. There's our word again. We have to have faith to believe that Jesus is who He says He is. We have to have faith to believe that is true. And then while we are talking about grace, one more time, I've got to talk about this. You've heard me say many times over the last few months from behind this pulpit that I fear that many people who call themselves Christians abuse the grace of God. I fear that many people approach grace as if it were some type of license to sin. Hear me when I say it is not a license to sin. And if that's your understanding of grace, I'll say it one more time. You don't understand grace. You don't understand grace. I read a quote earlier in the week and it said this. When grace becomes an excuse to live in sin, you are not living under grace. Instead, you're living under deception. When grace becomes an excuse to sin, you are not living under grace. You are living under deception. And I want to take that a step further. The deception is straight from Satan, the father of lies. Do not abuse God's grace. Now, am I thankful for God's grace? Absolutely I am. And if you're here in Christ this morning, you should say the same thing. But let's not abuse it. Let's not approach it like, well, we're in a sinful world. We're all going to mess up. We might as well go ahead and do it and we'll just claim God's grace. No, that is not how it works. And that is not the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's not, nor is it for me. Now, in the final verses for today, we're going to see that righteousness is a demonstration of God's justice. And we're also going to see that that righteousness does not include boasting. And I want to introduce this section of verses like this. And I need you to listen to me when I give this example. Please don't miss this. If we're thinking about our own wickedness, then we probably don't have a problem knowing that God can declare us righteous when we're thinking about our own wickedness. But what if we're talking about the wickedness of somebody else other than us? Let's stop just a moment and pray. This week, I would be afraid to guess the number of times I've heard sirens go by this place. And sirens have just gone by. I don't know what the need is, but I know God knows. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, I pray that as these first responders are going to whatever this call is, Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon them. Lord, I pray that you will provide them safety on the journey. And Lord, I pray that you will use their skills for your honor and for your glory. Lord, may you be glorified. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Let me start over with that example. If we are personally thinking about our own wickedness, we probably don't have a problem knowing that God can declare us righteous, do we? But what if we're thinking about the wickedness of somebody else? I want you to imagine for just a moment that in your immediate family, someone has been murdered. Think about that for just a minute. I want you to visualize their face. Who it is that's been murdered. And then I want you to imagine with me for just a moment that the person who did it, they admitted to it. They didn't even give an excuse. So they're detained, waiting for their trial. Months go by, waiting for the trial date to get here. Everybody's in the courtroom. And the judge comes in and announces something like this: I've decided not to hear any testimony today. I am declaring this person, although they have admitted to murder, I'm declaring them innocent. And I'm restoring their position in society. Now, how many of us would be good with that? None, right? But you know the reason that we're not good with it? Because we try to pretend that their wickedness is somehow worse than our very own. Church, in that example, we're the murderers. Our sin is that bad. Our sin is that bad. Society has put classifications on sin. Don't fall into that trap. Our wickedness is no worse or no better than that of the murderer in that example that I gave you. Sin has a price, church. And that price must be paid. God paid it through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for us on the cross. Jesus was a propitiation. He was an atoning sacrifice for us by His blood. You know, we sang about His blood in the last song that we sang. It wasn't an accident that we sang that song. We were intentionally singing about the blood of Jesus Christ because I knew it was going to appear in today's text. But we are to receive all of this by faith. There's our word again. And every bit of this was to show God's righteousness to all people who have faith in Jesus. When we have been justified by His grace, we are not to boast. Look what happens. Look what the text says happens. It's excluded. It is excluded by the law of faith. Now, Paul tells these people that we're justified by faith and it's apart from works of the law. God is the God of Gentiles and Jews alike. He is not exclusive to the Jews, and that is wonderful news this morning. If He was exclusive to the Jews, guess who'd be excluded? Every one of us in this building this morning, we would have all been excluded if the gospel was only for the Jews. But praise God that it is for all who believe. I wonder this morning, do you believe? Have you believed? Have you believed? Have you been guilty of falling into the trap of thinking someone other's wickedness is worse than your own? If you have, you need to repent for that this morning. You need to repent from that, and you need to approach that differently from this point forward. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never professed faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning, if I've just described you, there is no greater need that you could possibly have in your life than to die apart from Jesus Christ. That is the biggest problem that you could ever have. And I want you to know, He is here this morning. He is just waiting for you to ask Him to forgive you. So often pride stands in the way. Maybe this morning there are relationships that need to be restored. Don't take it for granted that you can do that tomorrow. You might not have that opportunity tomorrow. Maybe you're carrying a burden. I encourage you to bring it, kneel at the foot of the cross, and give that burden to Jesus. It's just like that old song that we used to sing when I was growing up, kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. He will meet you there. I wonder, do you need to go to the cross today? I'm thankful that Jesus went for us. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray now that through this next few minutes, that you will just move mightily throughout the sanctuary. Lord, I pray the same thing for people who are watching online this morning. Lord, I pray that you will just move and move freely. Lord, may you do the immeasurably more this morning, and may Jesus be forever glorified. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.